Welcome to your GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and we're diving into one of the most important topics in the entire EdExcel specification, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final polish before your exam, this episode is going to give you everything you need, the key events, the theology, the sources of wisdom and authority, and the exam technique to turn your knowledge into marks. So let's get started. Part 1. What is the resurrection and why does it matter? The resurrection refers to the event described in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in which Jesus Christ, who had been crucified and buried, rose bodily from the dead on the third day. This is not a metaphor and this is not a ghost story. This is a bodily resurrection, and that distinction is absolutely critical for your exam. Now, why does this matter so much? Because for Christians, the resurrection is not just one miracle among many. It is the cornerstone of the entire Christian faith. The Apostle Paul puts it with stunning clarity in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. Learn that quote. Memorize it, write it on a sticky note, and put it on your mirror. It is the single most important source of wisdom and authority for this topic, and examiners are specifically instructed to award marks for it. The resurrection matters for three interconnected reasons. First, it validates Jesus' identity as the Son of God. Anyone can claim to be divine, but rising from the dead is the ultimate proof. Second, it demonstrates victory over sin and death, completing the work of atonement begun at the crucifixion. Third, it provides the foundation for Christian belief in life after death, shaping everything from funeral rites to the hope of eternal life. Part 2, the key events. What happened? Let's walk through the events carefully, because examiners expect candidates to demonstrate precise knowledge, not vague generalizations. On Good Friday, Jesus was crucified at Golgotha, died, and was buried in a tomb belonging to Joseph of Arimathea. A large stone was rolled across the entrance. Matthew's gospel tells us that the chief priests asked Pilate to post a Roman guard at the tomb, recorded in Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 to 66, specifically to prevent the disciples from stealing the body and claiming a resurrection. This detail is important because it actually strengthens the historical case for the empty tomb. The authorities themselves took precautions to prevent any deception. On the third day, which Christians celebrate as Easter Sunday, the tomb was found empty. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 6, the angel says to the women, "He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." The women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, were the first witnesses. This is historically significant. In first century Jewish culture, women's testimony was not considered legally reliable. If the disciples had invented the story, they would never have chosen women as the first witnesses. Many scholars argue this actually supports the authenticity of the account. Then come the post-resurrection appearances. These are crucial for your exam. Paul provides the earliest written account in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3-8, listing the appearances to Peter, then to the 12, then to more than 500 people at once, then to James, then to all the apostles, and finally to Paul himself. The appearance to 500 people simultaneously is particularly significant. Paul writes that most of them are still alive, implying they could be questioned. This is not the language of myth, it is the language of eyewitness testimony. Luke's gospel adds a crucial detail in chapter 24, verse 39. The risen Jesus says to the frightened disciples, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." He then eats a piece of broiled fish in front of them. This is the gospel's deliberate, emphatic insistence on a bodily resurrection. Not a vision, not a ghost, not a spiritual experience, but a physical, tangible, risen body. Examiners will penalize candidates who describe the resurrection as a ghost appearance. Do not make that mistake. The resurrection appearances continued for 40 days, after which Jesus ascended to the Father. And this is your second critical distinction. The resurrection is the rising from the dead. The ascension is the return to the Father. They are separate events, and confusing them is one of the most common mistakes examiners see. The resurrection happened on Easter Sunday. The ascension happened 40 days later. Part 3, the theological significance. Now let's go deeper into the theology, because this is where AO1 and AO2 marks really start to stack up. The Nicene Creed, formulated at the Council of Nicaea in 325 CE, is a foundational statement of Christian belief. It explicitly states, "On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures." This is your second key source of wisdom and authority. The creed is used in Christian worship today, which means the resurrection is not just ancient history, it is a living, active belief that shapes Christian practice right now. What does the resurrection mean theologically? Let's break it down into four areas. First, atonement and salvation. Christians believe that through the crucifixion, Jesus paid the penalty for human sin. But the resurrection is the proof that this sacrifice was accepted by God. Without the resurrection, the crucifixion would simply be a tragic execution. With the resurrection, it becomes the mechanism of salvation. Paul writes in Romans 4, verse 25, that Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Second, validation of Jesus' divine identity. The resurrection is the ultimate proof that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the Son of God. This connects directly to the doctrine of the incarnation, which we'll come back to in a moment. If Jesus was merely human, death would have been the end. The resurrection demonstrates that death could not hold him because he was divine. Third, the promise of life after death. Paul develops this argument extensively in 1 Corinthians 15. He describes Jesus as the first fruits of those who have died, meaning that Christ's resurrection is the prototype and guarantee of the resurrection of all believers. This is why the resurrection is so central to Christian funeral rites. At a Christian funeral, the service typically includes readings about resurrection and eternal life, and the body is treated with respect because Christians believe in the resurrection of the body, not just the immortality of the soul. Fourth, the transformation of the disciples. Before the resurrection, the disciples were hiding in fear behind locked doors. After the resurrection appearances, they were transformed into bold, fearless preachers willing to die for their testimony. This transformation is itself a form of evidence. People do not willingly die for something they know to be a lie. Part 4, exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's get tactical. Here are the things that will either win you marks or cost you marks. Common mistake number 1, confusing the resurrection with the ascension. Say it with me. Resurrection equals rising from the dead on Easter Sunday. Ascension equals returning to the Father 40 days later. Different events, different theological significance. Examiners see this confusion constantly. Common mistake number 2, describing the resurrection as a ghost appearance. Luke 24, verse 39 explicitly rules this out. Jesus has flesh and bones, he eats food, he invites Thomas to touch his wounds in John 20, verse 27. The resurrection is bodily, physical, tangible. Common mistake number 3, failing to include a source of wisdom and authority in the C question. The C question on EdExcel asks you to explain two ways in which a belief influences Christians today with reference to a source of wisdom and authority. If you don't include a quote from the Bible, the Nicene Creed, or another authoritative source, you cannot access the top mark band. Your two go-to quotes are 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, and the Nicene Creed statement on the resurrection. Common mistake number 4. In the D evaluation question, writing a conclusion that doesn't connect to your argument. Your conclusion must flow logically from the points you've made. If you've argued that the resurrection is more significant than the incarnation because it provides the proof of Jesus' divinity rather than merely asserting it, your conclusion should synthesize that argument, not introduce a new idea at the last moment. Exam tip number 1, allocate your time carefully. The 12-mark D question should get approximately 15 minutes. That's enough time for a brief introduction, 2 paragraphs supporting the statement, 1 paragraph challenging it, and a conclusion. Don't spend 20 minutes on the 4-mark questions. Exam tip number 2, use the command word to structure your answer. Explain means give reasons and develop them. Evaluate means weigh up arguments on both sides and reach a justified conclusion. Describe means give features with supporting detail. Match your answer structure to the command word. Exam tip number 3. For evaluation questions comparing the resurrection to other events, such as the incarnation or the crucifixion, use a clear criterion for comparison. For example, The resurrection is more significant than the incarnation because while the incarnation established Jesus' divine nature, the resurrection proved it through an event that no human power could replicate. Part 5. Quickfire Recall Quiz. Cover your notes and try to answer these out loud. Ready? Question 1. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 about the resurrection? Pause and answer now. The answer is, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith." Question 2. What is the difference between the resurrection and the ascension? The resurrection is Jesus rising from the dead on Easter Sunday. The ascension is Jesus returning to the Father 40 days later. Question 3. Which gospel passage explicitly states that the risen Jesus had flesh and bones and was not a ghost? Luke chapter 24, verse 39. Question 4. Name 3 post-resurrection appearances listed by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, to Peter, to the 12, and to more than 500 people at once. Question 5. What does the Nicene Creed say about the resurrection? On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. How did you do? If you stumbled on any of those, go back and review that section before your exam. Part 6, summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. The resurrection is the central event of the Christian faith. It is a bodily resurrection, not a ghost, not a vision, not a metaphor. The key evidence includes the empty tomb, the post-resurrection appearances to hundreds of witnesses, and the transformation of the disciples. Theologically, it validates Jesus' divine identity, completes the work of atonement, and provides the foundation for Christian belief in life after death. Your two essential sources of wisdom and authority are 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, and the Nicene Creed. Your two essential distinctions are resurrection versus ascension, and bodily resurrection versus ghost appearance. In the exam, show the examiner that you understand both the event and its significance. Connect your knowledge to Christian practice today, funeral rites, the hope of eternal life, the weekly celebration of the Eucharist, and always, always reach a clear, justified conclusion in your evaluation questions. You've got this. Good luck in your exam, and remember, the more you practice retrieving this information without looking at your notes, the better it will stick. See you in the next episode.